GCU is the university that never sleeps, moving at the speed of light. And now GCU is leading in the area of computer science and IT. With over 200 university degree programs across 9 colleges, on campus and online, join the most inventive concept in education today. Fast track options available with courses in cybersecurity, cloud computing, and systems architecture. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu/IT.
Blog Talk Radio.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
Hello, welcome to the show. This is the North Star Show with Lily Gardner, and my guest today is Luana Le-Turetsky. And before we introduce Luana, I want to talk about why I called this show the North Star Show. I felt impressed to title the writings about my life and my radio show the North Star, but one day someone made me feel unworthy of that title, so I changed it. And a few days later, I went out to look at the stars at night, and the sky was covered in clouds except for the Big Dipper and the North Star. I took this message as a sign from the heavens that I am supposed to use the title the North Star to describe my work. So I just love that, the image of the North Star and the Big Dipper and how it guided people to freedom. It guided the slaves to freedom. It guided sailors for millennia. And so that's why I just love that we can find true north in our lives and find a place to get to that is home within ourselves. And so now, Luana, how about if you introduce yourself?
That would be great. Hi, everyone. My name is Luana Le-Turetsky. I am a personal let's start from the beginning. I own the World Tree Institute. We're a training and development company, and we specialize in helping individuals find, embrace, and responsibly use their intuitive gifts. So me, in my company, I am a master intuitive facilitator, and I help people come to those experiences through their own personal gifts. And it's so fun. It's so fun to see people transform and embrace newness and wholeness. And I'm excited to be on your show today.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you. I just feel so comfortable being on with a friend. Luana and I go back about 20 years, and so it just feels good to start out with a good friend. I want to introduce a quote by Einstein that I think will help people to put in context much of what Luana does. And so this quote says, "A human being is part of the whole called by us universe. He experiences himself, his thoughts and feelings, as something separated from the rest. A kind of optical delusion of his consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest to us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature in its beauty." So Albert Einstein
was a pretty smart guy, right?
Yes, he was. He sure was. And he said it's an optical delusion or a false belief to think that we're separate from each other. So I want to present a theory that I came up with. It's a metaphor. It's called life is like a Rubik's Cube game. We're all connected like the parts of a Rubik's Cube. Just like a Rubik's Cube, we're individual pieces that are part of a greater whole. The Rubik's Cube game is on an axis or on a swivel and rotates around like the Earth rotates around the sun. Our energy interacts with and influences each other. Will Smith explained that in order to solve a Rubik's Cube puzzle, it is important to keep in mind that the center cube on each side is the color of that side. just like there is a center on the Rubik's Cube, people tend to rotate around a certain center or around certain people and ideas. If that center is in line with their highest self, then they radiate love, light, and happiness, which are high vibrational frequencies. When individuals radiate unconditional love from their center, then it changes those around them because we are all connected. I believe the object of the game at this stage in human history is to solve the great puzzle by centering our lives around ideas, philosophies, and people with pure and unconditional love. Our energy is not just connected to each other, but is also connected to and influences the earth. In the book Cry the Beloved Country by Alan Payton, he describes a great famine and complete change in the South African hillsides from lush, beautiful meadows with streams to a desolate wasteland. I believe that because our energy influences the earth, this process of desolation can and will be reversed as we solve the puzzle and center our lives on love. The earth will spontaneously change back to its most glorious state with water and breathtaking beauty. It will start with flowers replacing the cracks in the dried earth and ending with edible, delicious, and healing plants. Just imagine the desert blossoming as a rose, or in other words, imagine people creating heaven on earth, and as enough people imagine the desert blossoming as a rose and work towards it, then it will happen. So,
that's beautiful.
What do you think of that analogy?
I believe that everything in the earth that we know throughout humanity teaches us that that's the objective, right? Through every great religion and longest, oldest contexts for morality, you know, what we subscribe to, there are things that point to this earth becoming paradisiacal in its design. And so I think that we also follow a blueprint, and that blueprint is guiding us towards helping the earth become its greatest, most amazing, bestest self, for lack of a better word, right? The very best it was designed to be, right?
Right, right. Excellent. Yeah, I certainly believe that. I just also want to start off with a song that explains how I came to learn about energy and transformation. This is a transformational radio show, so on the Kotong Fire Network. So, and I also need to say that people can call into the show and ask Luana questions by calling in to the number 646-716-7979. So I'll say that again, 646-716-7979. So I commissioned this song because I just thought that it was such a beautiful example of how God has worked in my life to bring me to the point that I'm at right now. And so I'll just play it, and then we can talk about it a little afterwards.
Sure.
Feel fine, let's go hiking and dance instead of cry. So
Yeah, the lyrics were a little bit hard to hear, but I think I got the understanding that we're meant to light up the world. Is that what that was the gist of that?
Yeah, also that when I first started trying to figure out which direction to head in my life, I was, after I had a bad experience, I needed to figure out how to heal from that experience. And so I listened to a lot of religious teachings. I've always liked religious teachings, but one day I was listening to about 4 hours of preaching, and afterwards I just was crying because I was like, man, I feel awful, and that doesn't seem to help. And so God said that I need to exercise and dance instead of cry. And then a few years later, I was praying to know how to improve my life, and he said, learn about energy and transformation. So I enrolled in 4 different transformational programs, and that night there was a storm, and there were 4 lightning bolts. Well, not that night, but a few nights later. And I had thought that the programs were like learning to make lightning. And so the symbolism is that I had, before the lightning storm, I was thinking, wow, all of this is so neat, and it just is so powerful. And I believe that the light from religion is a lot like the light from the sun, whereas transformational principles and principles of energy seem to me more like the light from lightning. But we need all kinds of light to light up the world. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're definitely right.
What I like about this idea is that we, in our solar system, right, you talk about the Rubik's Cube theory, right? Oftentimes when I'm working with people, I talk about imagining yourself as your own solar system, right? You are the sun, and things revolve around you all the time, you know, and we kind of joke around, what do you think, the world revolves around you? It kind of does. from a social context and from a psychological context, we have what's called a social construct of reality. It's literally how we view the way things work, and our programming that we get imprinted on that isn't part of the blueprint is how we respond to that, you know. And oftentimes what we find is a disjointing between my reality versus your reality, you know. So this idea that Einstein presented to us, that we're not meant to be separated, but that we're meant to be connected, actually talks to some universal laws of the universe, you know, and that everything is part of a greater whole. And from a Christian perspective, it's all over the standard work. You know, we're talking about people finding wholeness within membership in their family. We're finding people finding wholeness within membership in their community and their churches, and then also in wholeness with their God. And so I think that our objective, right, is to look at ourselves from that and go, okay, I may be a solar system, you know, I may be the sun, and there are things rotating around me all the time, but mine isn't the only solar system in this galaxy, you know. Next to me is another solar system, and next to that one is another solar system. And you know what? All of them seem to work in harmony with one another. We don't go colliding, thank heavens, into one another. There's not these cataclysmic disasters on a regular basis. I'm so thankful, you know, that by design, we can avoid that kind of terror and mayhem. But what that also tells me is that these solar systems inside of this galaxy are part of many galaxies touching one another and working in harmony with one another, and that those are all part of the universe. And one thing that I've learned again and again and again is that the universe is designed by Blueprint to be expanding. I mean, constantly expanding. Even single-celled amoebas will spontaneously reproduce because they're designed to expand. I want people to think about that for just a moment. You are not meant for just simply your construct of reality, but that your construct of reality is part of the whole. And by accessing your place, your belonging on this planet, where you fit in your family, and in your homes and in your community, but most importantly, where you fit in with yourself, with you, right, can change how that affects everyone else. So going to your Rubik's Cube analogy, what we get to see, which is so fun and exciting, is that when I get myself centered around my side, say my side is red, right, mm-hmm. and your okay. side is blue, what happens is as I put myself into alignment, blue also starts to get put into alignment, not because of anything I directly did to blue, but because I put my red side in alignment.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I got myself all straightened out, you know. And so it gets really fun when we start to see that the pattern for organization, growth, and transformation, literally becoming undone and made into something else, is all over, from the hugest macro to the teeniest micro. The design is flawless. It's flawless. And so, you know, that being said, I want to make sure that people understand, too, that part of the process of expansion includes death. Think black holes. Think new suns and stars. You know, they come by way of something ceasing to exist in order to make room for something new. And we know that in the universe, everything is made up of matter, and you can't make or destroy matter. At least not that I know of yet.
Right.
So that matter is reconstructed and used in the creation of something else and new. And it expands. We're literally seeing expansion. They can't keep up with it. We don't have the technology to keep up with it. And I find that very comforting and awe-inspiring at the same time. Right? It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely love what you said about reality. That's one of my soapboxes that I like to get on, is the importance of understanding that everyone has a socially constructed reality. And there's actually a paradigm in sociology called the symbolic interactionist paradigm. And it's just pretty
yeah.
much what you said, that how people act depends on how they see and evaluate reality, which is socially constructed. And then people learn from others how to see and evaluate reality. People constantly work to interpret their own behavior and the behavior of others to determine what these behaviors mean. And when people do not attach the same meanings to behaviors or perceive reality in the same way, there will be misunderstanding and conflict, especially internal conflict. So it's really important to figure out who you really are. And
yeah. And let's go to this too, again, from a Christian perspective. When the greatest commandment was given, I laugh all the time when somebody says, if I could just understand them better, then I could love them more. And we've got that backwards. I think everything mm-hmm. you're wanting to emphasize today has to do with love being the center of that change and transformation and expansion, right?
Right.
And so I remind them that the greatest commandment wasn't love, or it wasn't understand thy neighbor as thyself. Understand God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and then understand
right.
your neighbor as yourself. Now, the scriptural text actually is love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And in the scriptures, it says that the second is like unto it. But we kind of tend to put it in a hierarchical order of first it's God and then it's everyone else. But like unto it literally means it's the same. Now, how do we know that that's true? Because we've heard several, you know, religious doctrines that talk about, well, in as much as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So God puts himself on the same level of receiving love as how we love ourselves and how we love our neighbors, right? And if we learn how to do that better, then in turn we learn the love of God. It's a fascinating, symbiotic, really cool commandment, right? And it's the highest and best. So
right.
when we're talking about the transformative power of the universe, it all centers, in my mind, around the common denominator, which is love, right? Even the chakras themselves, okay? I don't know how many of you out there know what chakras are. Probably many of you do. Chakras are part of the subtle body. They're part of the subtle energy field that exists everywhere. And everything in the universe, we're talking about energy, okay? We describe everything that happens in terms of momentum and growth via energy, right? And scientifically, there's thermal energy, there's kinetic energy, there's potential energy. That's how we describe this experience. We describe it via energy. When we eat food, we're getting energy, you know? Mm-hmm. And so this energy that flows in and around us, that propels us forward in our daily lives and routines, also has the opportunity to flow through us through these energetic centers called the chakra. And while the Hindu Sanskrit word for chakra means spinning wheel or disc, a lot of times people get concerned from a Christian perspective that that's not actually anywhere in the scriptures. But it is. It is. And you have to go searching for it. I'm going to point to that, just one in particular, in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 1, we have this very kind of strange creature that rises up out of the northern area with clouds and wings and faces and wheels in wheels. And it's a very abstract way of describing something. And I'm going to let you all go on your own little adventure, a searching adventure. And I'm going to ask you to put the reference in context. And so out there, there's a resource called Strong Concordance. My favorite happens to be Blue Letter Bible. But what it does is it gives you an opportunity to check how many times, once that scripture was put into standard text, it was translated from another word in Hebrew or Greek. And what that does is gives you context for maybe what that word means, okay? And so go on a journey and search and find out that it's not just face value, right? For instance, words that we used 30 years ago, if you used them now, do not have the same meaning. You know, phrases and things like, when you're like, to be called a cool cat, you know, in the 60s, the beatnik era, right? We don't use that thing anymore. And if somebody were to call you that now, it would feel misplaced and disjointed, right?
Okay.
So our objective as human beings is to find the context, to put things in context, and then to use our spiritual natures to go on a journey and ask for our spirits to learn, what does that mean? Right? So that's,
right.
I'm going to point you to that. I mean, it's there. Chakras are there. And they all point to redemption through a singular being. And so there's that perspective. But for me personally, love is the center and the transformational foundation for everything, even in the chakras, because of how I've seen them. So from the time I was small, I saw color around people, specifically in a line going up their bodies. And that's not something I've been able to say without cringing for a very long time, you know, because, you know, I grew up in a very religious home with actually very intuitive parents. My mother comes from a line of dreamers. And she herself has amazing dreams. She later became a licensed massage therapist and physical therapy assistant. And she's always had healing in her hands, kind of deal, right? And my father comes from a line of dowsers. My grandpa was a very famous water witch, they called them, or dowsing. And he would use dowsing to help find water wells and create sources for people to be able to bring water into their homes out in the valley.
Wow.
Where he lived, actually all over. And my dad, you know, became later, has had jobs as a CNA, but always as a musician, and has always been comfortable with tender and very spiritual things. And so that was always in me, right? But we still didn't talk about it growing up, you know? But then I just went around and was like, oh, why are you swirling with that gray, murky color around it? You know, I didn't say that. That wasn't something I had permission, let alone understanding, to be able to speak from. And so because I allowed my construct of reality to change, it gave me opportunity to develop new vocabulary, to take in new words. And it was like, oh, there's a name for those things? Oh, my gosh, they're chakras? How exciting is that? You know? And so I've seen them since I was little. But as I started learning about chakras, the traditional models always showed the flow of chakras moving singularly. You know, you drop energy through your feet. It passes through your lower chakra, your root chakra, and then if it's clear and the sacral chakra is clear, then it will create more momentum, and then we want to get it around, spinning around the solar plexus chakra, and so on and so forth. But in order for you to have full connection up into the cosmos, into heaven or the universe, every system has to be cleared. Every energy system has to be cleared. And as much as I wanted to try and make how I saw the chakras work that way, I just couldn't. And it was frustrating and it was sad. And luckily I have this husband who's very supportive, also very, very intuitive. He's a very skilled dowser as well. He said to me one morning, why don't you just teach it the way that you see it? And it was like a light bulb went off. I had permission to tell people, you know. And as I started to share this with people and explain how this other truth, you know, the first truth I shared with you is that the universe is designed to expand, right? Well, everything in the universe also works in partnership. And so I started to teach people what I saw, and that was that when you're clear in your connection with heaven and you feel belonging to the earth, you are what I call plugged in. And when you're plugged in, energy flows through, it looks like an infinity pattern, if you're looking at it two-dimensionally, through the heart center, through the heart chakra. And this gets really yummy and cool when you realize that there are partnerships all along the spine. So our first and our seventh are partners, and they pass through the plane and orbit of the heart chakra. Our second and our sixth are partners, and they pass through the plane of the heart chakra. Our throat and our solar plexus chakra are partners, and they pass through the heart center. And when I started explaining that, somebody said, hey, have you ever heard about the Heart Math Institute? I was like, no. So they started talking to me about how they're discovering that the heart has brain tissue, I mean, basically synapse tissue, right? They're considering it now the secondary brain, right? And it's fascinating because you can have the most brilliant, amazing neuroscientist on the planet who could know everything about the brain and still not know what's going on through the mind, right? So my perspective is that the mind actually sits in our heart. And when we want to know the mind of God, I think it requires us to understand our heart. And how many scriptural texts have I read growing up that talk again and again and again about how soft hearts, you know what I mean? Or they hardened their hearts. And what happens inevitably is they become stiff-necked, interestingly. They become unable to see the nature of God. But I think in order to understand God, we have to understand that these energy systems all pass through the center, and that love is the power of that center. Interestingly, because there are smarty pantses out there, I know right now, who are going, but what about the heart's partner? The heart becomes a transformational, transdimensional chakra. It literally is what gets us beyond our current plane of existence. I see people who have gone through the process of forgiveness and asked for forgiveness and released some old grudges and hurts. And all of a sudden, their countenance, their literal face, their body looks lighter and brighter. They speak with more joy. They have a literal shift and change. They've transcended that more gross plane of existence into a new plane of existence. And it's the heart chakra that helps us do that. So when we honor that these things are constantly working and flowing through our heart, we also have to understand the importance of protecting that heart chakra, you know, because
right.
there's lots of energy out there that would rob us of our joys and our growth and our experience. And it's up to us. And as human beings, we exist in a different dimensional plane of reality anyway, because we have the ability to change our minds. You know, the animal kingdom can do some of that, but not in the way that we can. They can't form, you know, these complex conclusions and then also choose to transform themselves into something different, right? We are constantly expanding and pushing the bounds of what humanity can and can't do. Whether or not we should is an entirely different moral question, right? but we are. That's our nature is to do that. So for me, this idea that we're connected all comes down to how energy flows through us. And when we connect for me, it's knitting my heart to Christ. It's a higher power. And when I do that, it changes me. And all of my side of the Rubik's Cube starts to get an alignment. And by natural consequence and default, those who are in my sphere of influence, which is the whole planet, right? Because we all have some impact some way or another, start to naturally fall into their place. Naturally,
yep.
Right? So
yeah.
The only real change that can ever happen is me choosing into that for myself. But the key to doing that is knowing that love is the way. You know, and how many songs do we have about love? From cheesy
yeah.
to deep, you know? So
yeah.
many songs about love.
Yeah.
And it's just a great opportunity to check in and go, okay, how am I going to adjust? What am I going to do now that's going to be different so that I can become more of what I want to be?
Right.
Anyway, that was a long ramble. Sorry, Lily.
That's okay. That was excellent. Thank you. I need to remind people what the call-in number is. It is 646-716-7979. Again, 646-716-7979. And this is the North Star Show with Lily Gardner and special guest Luana Le Turetsky. And I wanted to mention that your life probably really changed when you started to decide that you could share your strengths, that you
oh,
could share your
absolutely.
Gifts, that you could all of a sudden talk to people about what you had known all your life, and then you are all of a sudden an expert in this area because you have been seeing it all your life.
I've been a lifelong student, you know.
Yes.
Yes. And so, yeah, absolutely. And also,
yeah.
too, I want to point out that the motivation for sharing that was not fear. The motivation for keeping it to myself was the fear that I would be
right.
rejected or disrespected or even excommunicated. You know, I mean, there's those worries, and they're genuine because that's the way I grew up, you know. But the motivation for sharing them was because of love. It was my husband's love for me that reminded me of my love for me, which reminded me of God's love for me, which helped me, despite that fear, choose something different.
Right.
And
I think the
freeing.
Part of... Oh, sorry.
No, I was just saying
right.
that's freeing, you know.
Yeah, totally. Very freeing. I think that part of loving ourselves is knowing our strengths. And as we know our strengths, we tap into an eternal part of our nature. And
yeah.
So there's this book I want to plug. It's one of my favorite books. It's called The Strengths Finder 2, and it's based on 50 years' worth of research on strengths. It's a number one Wall Street Journal bestseller. And that's one of the ways that I figured out what my strengths are, even though I have kind of known, but to actually have a really good assessment is one way. Some of them just aren't on the charts, like Luana's just isn't on the charts. But most people are going to really benefit from the StrengthsFinder 2 book. But you need to buy a new copy of it, because that way you can access a personal code that gives you the test for a lifetime. You can access that information for the rest of your life. So anyways, let's...
Now, while I may not have, you know, all of my brain resources in in text form, I did recognize that there was a need to create a course to help people better understand the chakras. Because let's be honest, the world is full of fragmented information about chakras and chakra health. You know, what they are, how to unlock them and understand them, you know, how to get them working at optimum, or even how to protect yourself from outside forces that affect them, because that's real. You know,
right?
And if that wasn't frustrating enough, you know, not all of us are deeply attuned, and we're frustrated by the utter lack of concrete, tangible, and quantifiable evidences to this, you know, new age hippie stuff, which isn't new age. We know it's old age, right? And because people are worried about that, they can't get the information they want, they were turning away from the discussion, turning away from principles that could very well help them for the pieces that they were searching for. So I did create with my business partners last year a product that's an online self-study course about the chakras. And the foundation of this product is the Turetsky model, the one that I shared with you about working in partnerships. That's really kind of cool. So if you're interested, if it's okay, do I get to plug my stuff? Is that
totally
allowed?
Totally. Yeah, that's why you're here.
Great. If you're interested, if you're listening and you want to know more, I'm going to encourage you to go to www.chakracharged.com. That's chakracharged.com, chakracharged.com. And on that website is some helpful information, as well as an opportunity to sign up for that course, and a way to contact us as well, you know. So I don't want anyone out there who has had the ability to see their whole life shut it down because nobody's talking about it or can give them access to it. Now, from my brain, I tend to be a scientist at heart. I tend to look at things very pragmatically. That this drive in me to understand what I've seen has been a result of years of observation. And we have to know that the first scientific principle in, or the first step in the scientific method to understanding anything is to make an observation. You know, you've got to see what's going on. And then you've got to form some hypotheses. And when we treat our energetic experiences more pragmatically, we can stop being so emotionally connected to the outcome and just start going, oh, well, that didn't work the way I wanted it to work. And that doesn't mean that I'm worthless or that I'm dumb or stupid. It literally is the product of the test. And so I can run the test again with different parameters, or I can try a new test. So for me, it's been kind of a fun experience to get people out of their deeply emotional rooted ties to whether or not they're a good person, and help them step into a more objective experience, so that when they're transforming, they're doing it with the opportunity for duplicatable results. You know, as human beings, we want to be able to keep expanding. And as the adage says, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right?
Yeah.
Help yourself find systems that work and utilize them until they need to be modified. But for heaven's sakes, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Right. Piece it apart. Figure it out. What part didn't work? You know? No good academic scientific study I have ever read or seen says, well, that was a flop, therefore, the end. You know?
Yeah.
They find ways to measure and adjust and to see what happens when they give different parameters to their tests, and the results vary, and it gives them an opportunity to say, okay, in this range, now we know in this range, instead of it being an amorphous, ambiguous idea, right?
Right. Yeah. I wanted to mention a little earlier that Viktor Frankl, the Holocaust survivor, said in Man's Search for Meaning that salvation comes in and through love. And I totally believe that. I think that love is the bottom line of everything that we do. And so that's...
And may I give people an insight to something? I also want you to know that if love seems unattainable to you, the kind of love that we're talking about, I want you to know that there is an emotion that you can access and tap into energetically that will help raise your vibration to the kind of love we're talking about. Because, you know, there are different kinds of love. There's, you know, a very selfless kind of love. There's an inclusive kind of love. There's a very disassociative kind of love. I mean, there's lots of ways that we describe love. But one of the things that I think is beautiful is the opportunity for us to exercise a very pure, high vibrating emotion, and that's gratitude. If people will tap into the vibrational energy of gratitude, what naturally increases is the vibrational purity of love, which sits above it. Okay? It literally sits above it. And gratitude will help you let go of ego. You know, there's a fight out there right now as far as like academia is concerned about what people need most, and our behavior in our societies tell us that respect is the driving factor. You know, it's probably really high up there, constantly competing with love. And I would encourage you to add more gratitude into your day so that you can let go of the need to be respected in order to feel loved. Mm-hmm. And just tap into the intrinsic nature of love. Okay?
Right. Okay. Okay, let me share the phone number again. It is 646-716-7979. Again, 646-716-7979. So other than gratitude, do you have any other quick ways that you could mention to increase love?
Absolutely. one of the things we have also, because of our group, it's a Facebook group, or because of our program, it's a Facebook group. It's called Chakra Charged. You can look it up and then make a request to join the group. But today actually happens to be the day that we highlight the heart chakra. I thought that was pretty providential. I thought it was pretty cool. And so we can flow in the current of love and charge this chakra by hugging someone for 15 seconds, receiving a compliment, and saying we're sorry. Those are three really simple things that we can do to help encourage love and the flow of love through us. And let's be honest, if you're not a hugger, 15 seconds might feel like torture. So start with 5.
Right. Okay.
But there are some really cool physiological things that happen to us, endorphin-wise, do you know what I mean? Or hormonally, endocrine-wise, when we hug for 15 seconds. It releases all kinds of really, really healthy, good hormones into our bloodstream. And notice, one of the things I said was receiving a compliment. You know, part of being a person built with love, your divine blueprint is all centered around love. Our imprinting, things that happen to us in this mortal plane of existence, can discourage us from receiving compliments. But if you will genuinely receive a compliment, you'll be igniting that center of your heart that says, yes, yes, I am love, and I am loved, and I'm worth love, right? And then the last one, saying you're sorry. I don't know about you, but it's not my favorite thing to do. But I know that when I seek to be in alignment and I adjust, when I adjust my language to a recognition that I've been out of alignment, then the natural what naturally follows is the need to make amends, to make restitution, and to say I'm sorry. So again, it's the is respect playing a higher role than love? And if it is, I would just encourage you to infuse more gratitude. Hug someone for 15 seconds. Receive compliments. And then say you're
okay.
Sorry.
All right. And so that Facebook group was called Chakra Charged?
Uh-huh, Chakra Charged. And so you can make a request there, and I will add you right to the group.
Sounds good. Okay, and talk about how to get your course again, just in case people missed it.
Yeah, sure. You're going to go to www.chakracharged.com, and that will give you information about Chakra Charged University, which is the coursework all about the chakras. So we have two programs. We have the core, which is the basics of chakras and energy, and then we have what we call the masters, which is designed to help you implement, to make it part of your practicum of your daily life.
Right.
So they're
good.
Both there. Would love to have you join us. It's really kind of fun. All right, it's lots of fun. You know you're in a profession when you could talk about the things that you love all day long and it never feels like work, you know?
Right.
And I have been blessed to find that in this life. And I've learned that when I help others also help their chakras be in alignment with love as the focus, then they also can find their passion and their joy and be a contributing member of society, not just a producer and consumer in society, but someone
right.
who actually helps lift the entire family of man.
Nice. Yeah. I believe that we really need to find our passions and strengths and talents and interests and just, but yeah, I think that chakras are a really important part in that. Chakras are just a part of making our energy so that it will radiate out positively and so that we can change the world through what we came to bring to the table.
Sure. Also, really quick, if people don't know if they want to go in or not, if they're like, I kind of want to know, but I don't know, I offer a free 7-day course on learning chakras fast. And you can go to www.learnchakrasfast.com and then sign up. That'll put you on a wait list, and then it will let you know of our next opening when we start, and that's completely free. So that's
cool.
That's a fun way to get involved too. Okay?
Right. Awesome. Okay, thanks. I think we're going to wrap this up. Is there any other burning things you want to talk about, or should we?
I think, you know, there's a song out there that I really love that I think
okay.
is a good reminder. It's called Be Kind to Yourself.
Okay.
I think his name is Alan Peterson. And I don't know if you can play that from where you're at or if I play it from where I'm at.
it needs to be uploaded into the studio to play it.
Got it. I would just encourage people to remember that kindness to yourself can go a really long way in helping you receive love from other people and receive love from yourself, and especially receive love from your higher power, you know. Kindness is a very, we see it right now in our political environment and in our division of ideologies right now happening within the United States. And we're lacking a great deal of this very beautiful and life-changing quality or virtue. So I'm going to encourage you to be more kind. Be more kind.
Okay.
It's
cool.
Time for us to engage. I mean, if we're going to lift the world into its ultimate design and its beautiful paradise, then it's going to require us stepping into
kindness.
Even if it feels harder, a better behavior, you know? We weren't designed to be destroyers. We were designed to be creators.
Right. So what was the name of the song?
Be Kind to Yourself is the name of the song. And the artist's name is, I'm so sorry, Andrew Peterson.
Andrew Peterson. Be Kind to Yourself by Andrew Peterson. Steve
yeah.
James has one that was, Steve James has one called A Little Bit of Honey that I really like. He was commissioned by the State Board of Education of Utah to think of songs that would address some of the character issues that we need to change in order to go forward as a people. And so kindness was one of the themes that was chosen, so that's another song to just throw out there.
I love it. A Little Bit of Pun. I'm going to add it
by
to my
Steve
playlist
James.
Today.
Okay, cool. Alright.
Also, I guess I want to just close with a reminder too that wherever you are in your walk of life, whether you're uber religious or uber spiritual or uber atheist, right? Whatever your walk is right now, I want you to know that I honor where people are. I really get excited when I see people come from very, very different backgrounds and experiences choose to be engaged with one another instead of fighting. And I love it. I love it so much. It makes a huge difference, you know?
Right.
So, Let's just be there. Let's be those people that says, here's where we're playing, come join us.
Right. Totally.
And let's heal the world and make it a better place, you know? Let's
right.
get some MJ going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds good. Speaking of, this is where we're playing, come join us. We'll be playing the next show a week from today, which is today's Thursday, January 19th. We'll be playing the next show in a week on Thursday at noon with Melissa Bunch. She is with the Spirit Code. She's an energy healer. And we'll be talking about techniques for creating heaven on earth. So that should be pretty exciting.
I love it.
Okay. Thank you so much, Luana. And
thank you for
we'll,
having me.
You're welcome. We'll see you another time on the North Star Show here on the Coach on Fire Network.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Electron Fire Radio.
At National University, it's not just a degree in using a strand of hair to find the truth. It's not just a degree in making sure the wrong guy doesn't stay locked up when the DNA doesn't match. It's not just the degree. It's the degree to which you use it. Earn your master's in forensic science with one course per month. Visit nu.edu to learn more about a nonprofit institution where students come first. National University, for the greater.